Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
How many disses does it take to kill a rapper? Well, the answer is a bit complicated. You see, diss tracks have been a part of hip-hop culture ever since the early 80s. However, this generation's street-affiliated rappers have taken it to a whole new level where anything goes. So, it's no coincidence that in this age where rivals openly mock one another's fallen friends or family, and double down whenever they can with vicious shots on social media, the death toll in hip-hop has tragically risen to the highest rates we have ever seen. But how many of these tragic deaths could have been prevented if it weren't for all these back and forths on tracks and IG lives? And are there other rappers that need to change their ways and learn from the violence that's happening all around them before it's too late? And this is how many disses it takes for a rapper to get killed. And while many of the people that we're going to be discussing today have succumbed to a hail of gunfire, the first artist whose tragic final steps we need to retrace actually tried to fight his enemies off before the odds proved too much. He goes by the name of Julio Fulio. Fulio is quite possibly one of the most diabolical rappers when it comes to dissing your dead ops. You might have heard how the 26-year-old rapper was fatally shot in Tampa, Florida on June 24th, 2024, while he was out celebrating his birthday. But what's crazy is that this was just one of the four deadly encounters that the rapper embraced in the past 4 years. Before that, Fulio was recently shot at in the early hours of October 7th, 2023, when his black Dodge Challenger was showered with bullets. And he was then transported to a local hospital with injuries that were said to have been extremely severe. He later shared a gruesome photo of what appears to be a foot with a bloody hole in the middle, and it went viral online within days of the incident. Somehow, being the warrior that he was still in good spirit afterwards, and thankfully, he didn't meet his fate.
I can move my toes, man. Damn, God, good boy.
He was also the victim of gun violence back in 2021 when he claimed he dodged 100 shots by the grace of God.
I sit down in the car seat for like 1-2 seconds, bro. Wah. But to my, that's what, I don't know what that, but that shit sounded like, I can't even explain what that shit sounded like. That shit sounded like with Call of Duty, Modern Warfare.
He was also shot in 2020 when traveling around Houston. So it's clear that there was a constant threat of violence looming over Fulio's career since the moment he popped out on the scene. And what's even crazier is that despite all these difficult circumstances, Fulio was known to move solo dolo and never liked having security.
How are you moving? Like, how security? Like, you always move with security?
Not really. Oh no, I'm not going to show.
Fulio claimed that this lifestyle was simply regular to him.
I don't know, to me, I'm just like, that has to be scary, like, you know, it doesn't faze you at all, getting shot at.
This is regular. Like, we, man, you live two different lives, that's regular to me.
No, so I hear you, I hear you. They shot 100 shots at you?
Probably were.
So how does a rapper make himself into such a big target to the point that he seemingly had a death sentence wherever he went? And most importantly, what are the course of events that led Fulio to losing his life in June of 2024? Well, as you will see, Fulio had it coming for him. In the comment section on Hip Hop DX, who reported the story about his death, you can see a ton of users commenting things like, "Who didn't see this coming?" and "This was destined to happen." And when you look deeper, he really did. As Charleston White said,
"Y'all, they done got that black ass boy. You say they done got that Julio Fulio boy. I told him they were gonna get him. I didn't tell him they were gonna get him. I just knew they were gonna get him. Cause the boy works hard to get guys."
You see, Fulio wasn't just a rapper. He was a demon who cataloged the very real and scary experience of growing up in the streets of Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, so what part of Jacksonville did you grow up in?
The north side, 1646 West 45th Street.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hilltop Village Apartments is like the worst hood in Jacksonville, like literally the worst hood, Hilltop Village Apartments.
What does that mean exactly?
Like killings, shootings, prostitution, drugs, like whatever, like anything you don't supposed to see, you gonna see it up.
The city has become one of the most notorious cities in the U.S. now, as it's riddled with violence specifically for homicidal murders that are reportedly higher than the country's average. In one instance, he talked about barely escaping death at the age of 15 in an interview with DJ Vlad after he was transferred to a school in his ops' neighborhood.
This was like my first day of school, like, because I had got kicked out of a school for fighting, right? They sent me to an alternative school in the ops hood who I was beefing with, like, it came to like fourth period. I was finna fight like three people, three of the same people in the same hood. So, okay, I get off the school bus. I walk through the cut. I say probably like 5-10 minutes later, somebody pop out the cut, go to shooting, boom, boom, boom. I got hit on my hip and my hip popped out of place and I was just crawling, looking back, looking at him still shooting.
He claimed that he lost his best friend at the age of 15 and lost nearly 15 other associates by the age of 20 years old. And like many rappers who were exposed to the harsh realities of street life and witnessed violence and loss, he began crafting art in the form of music where he narrated his personal experiences. At first, he used his songs as a way to escape from the horrific lifestyle. And in 2018, he had a breakthrough year after dropping tracks like Crooks, Slide, and Voodoo.
My grandma do voodoo. Magic. Fuck it, now I'm playing with that woo. We just talk the head off a goose. Sister living proof.
Gaining tons of fans through platforms like YouTube and SoundCloud, Fulio was definitely in a position where he can finally disconnect from the dangerous Jacksonville scene and become an example of what hard working and dedication can do for you. However, he straight up chose violence. And instead of becoming an icon, the same way that some of his fellow Florida rappers did, like Kodak Black and XXXTentacion, Fulio used his platform as a funnel to absolutely disrespect his ops piece by piece, which really put him and his loved ones in a constant threat of danger. His catalog of songs are filled with nothing but disses and braggadocious lyrics about people he either killed or played a part in doing so. His longstanding feud with fellow Jacksonville rapper Youngin Ace was the biggest of them all. This beef began around the year 2017 and included a ton of diss tracks where the two rappers went back and forth on social media. Eventually, this beef boiled up to the point that it eventually turned into real-life violence. To explain why they were beefing, much of it has to do with how Fulio's KTA gang has been in a long-term feud with Youngin Ace's ATK gang.
ATK, we forever,
came to a head in May of 2017 when Fulio's 17-year-old cousin Zion Brown tragically passed away, and it was discovered that an associate of Youngin Ace was the one who killed him. About a year later in 2018, Youngin Ace was targeted in a retaliatory shooting while celebrating his brother's birthday at a St. John's Town Center restaurant. Now, Ace did survive despite being shot 8 times, but his brother Trayvon Bullard, Royal Devon Smith Jr., also known by his street name 23, and Jacoby Deshaud Groover were killed. The deaths of his brother and best friends have deeply affected Ace, which he made evident in various interviews.
I be putting the blame on me. I don't know.
It's survivor's like remorse.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, because I insisted, like, look, bro, let's go out to eat. It's your birthday. Yeah. You know, it's my best friend's birthday. I'm like, it's your birthday, man. Let's just go out to eat. Because this is something that we don't do. We don't eat out. We in the street. We know not to even move like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, knowing the rules of the game, you know, just got caught slipping in the wrong time. You know what I'm saying? We just lollygagging, man. Laughing, having too much of a good time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It ain't wrong to have. It ain't.
But it can cost you.
It can cost you. It's crazy how it went because 23 mama was there.
However, his actions didn't really match the words he spoke. And in 2019, Adrian Gaynor, also known as Bibby and was a close friend of Fulio, was tragically shot and killed. With Youngin Ace's friend Kesu being charged with his alleged murder. Bibby's death remains a hot topic in Jacksonville, with ATK gang members mocking his passing. This escalated when Youngin Ace collaborated on the track Who I Smoke, where he mentions their deceased rivals, including Fulio's friend Bibby.
Who I smoke, Bibby, who I smoke, Dickie, who I smoke.
The song instantly went viral, mainly because you had three dudes joyfully rapping about the people they killed on such an innocent and uplifting instrumental. It was so disrespectful that it had people feeling like they had to give disclaimers out before they reacted to it on YouTube.
We not finna sit here and act like this nigga ain't just disrespect the fuck out of one of his damn ops.
Bro, before we play any more of this song, I am not affiliated with these niggas. I don't know these niggas. Don't come after me for reacting. I don't know. First of all, I don't know none of the niggas in the song. And I definitely don't know the niggas they name it.
Hey, don't get it fucked up, dude. Don't get it fucked up. I ain't no pussy.
This set Fulio into absolute demon mode. And on a podcast with Academics, he talked about how much it infuriated him when the track dropped.
Is it because of the fan reaction?
I ain't no hater. I ain't no. The song went crazy. They Who I Smoke went crazy. I'm mad as fuck.
Oh, yeah, it was on a golf course. Like, I'm gonna tell
going
you, man.
Crazy. I'm like, damn, what I could do?
And shortly after, he would release his own version to the trend. He remixed Fantasia's classic hit When I See You, where he transformed what was once an innocent beat that birthed one of the mainstream's most famous love songs into a track where he also disses his dead ops while standing on their graves, specifically taking aim at Ace's dead homies.
He kept dissing on me.
What happened?
Now we smoking 23.
This song, of course, did numbers, and it was truly how a lot of people were introduced to Fulio. He would then go on a rampage on social media where he glorified the king. Till this day, if you scroll through his Instagram from around that time, a majority of the posts have to do with him promoting the song. He would post videos like this where he showed the number 23, referring to Ace's friend Royal, and proceeding to dance and laugh as he mocked his dead homie.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces passing, I'm homebound.
At one point, it was said that he created a t-shirt airbrushed with a photo of Royal that said, "Rest in Peace 23. However, I wasn't able to find the image as I believe it was deleted. And although he was aware this put more of a target on his back, Fulio straight up did not care.
Is it never time you think like, man, if I do this shit right here, it's gonna put a bigger target on my back?
No, because it's already, it is what it is already. So nothing I can say a dude can make them want to kill me more. You know what I'm saying? Like,
instead of feeling remorseful, Fulio followed this up with more ruthless tracks like List of Dead Ops, which is pretty self-explanatory.
I got hit in the head, he tried to swim at the pool. Oh, big baby got caught in the morning on the bus, was going to school.
The entire track lists more than 30 names and explains how each of them died. However, Fulio was making a big mistake by doing these songs and music videos. As always, every action has a reaction. And although not immediately, Fulio would eventually have to reap what he sowed. A ruthless diss which escalated the disrespect to a whole new level, even DJ Vlad felt the need to point out how Fulio never learned his lesson from when he was 15 years old.
I mean, you got shot because you were dissing somebody that was dead, right?
Yeah.
Then after that, you started rapping about dead people.
I was rapping about it before then, but it just, somebody actually died. Like, somebody died, so they was like, you know what I'm saying? They was butt hurt about it, you know? So that was like the karma, the instant karma.
From there, Fulio was a man with an eternal target.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it! They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
Bergen on his back, narrowly escaping various attacks, such as the time in 2021 when he was nearly assassinated while he was leaving the studio.
I walk out the studio, I'm walking down like the carport to my car. Anytime I walk anywhere, I got my gun in my hand, walking well in Jacksonville. Like, that's just how you gotta be.
You have it in your hand or you have it on your person?
In my hand. Walking out, it's in my hand already. Like, as soon as I get to sit down a little bit, niggas go blowing. Bah, bah,
bah, bah. You didn't see nobody before?
Hell no. I just see two niggas shooting with choppers. Now I see two niggas shooting. Well, I had to locate where the shot was coming. I'm like, boy, what the fuck going on? Like, I'm dead. I know I'm dead.
Even after he was shot in the foot by his ops in October of 2023, Fulio still had the nerve to make a song called Recovery, where he went right back to dissing his ops again.
Let's talk about news for Jax. We dropped three bodies, we the hottest, smoking brand new pack.
He would continue to terrorize his ops any chance he got. For one thing, when the Louisiana rapper and ATK affiliate Jada Youngin passed away in a hail of bullets while on house arrest, Fulio was one of the first people to take shots at the ATK associate the very same day that he died, saying, RIP Jada Youngin, you will be missed, lol. To Julio, this was completely justified because he decided to side with Youngin Ace and thus made himself a target.
You from out of town, right? So you see what we got going on. So just cause you rocking with a rapper, you rocking with a nigga that don't fuck with me, you act like you my op now. Now you dissing me in songs, saying elf my dad, homeboys, this and that. How I'ma feel? What, I just supposed to sit back, just, you know what I'm saying, be quiet, don't say nothing? If it was me on the other end, nigga would did the same thing, they would've turned up.
No matter what came Fulio's way, it seemed like he was always going to beat the odds and continue to be a thorn in the side of his foes. But his luck would run out in June of 2024 in a tragic incident that would make his mockery of 23's death seem horribly ironic. Because as he turned 26, Fulio was throwing a pool party in Tampa and sent out a flyer to the world to let them know where he'd be.
The pool party starts today at 5-6 o'clock. You already got an address, pull up, man. You got the address, pull up. If you need the address, DM me right now. The pool party start at 5-6 o'clock. DM me for the address or DM Fulio Bookie ESPN. I'm gonna put it right here.
You got to add it. You got to add it, man. Push up.
And straight away, people didn't think this was a good idea. 7 hours after that, he had posted a video which showed that he was drunk, a rarity for Fulio.
Me drinking, cuz. I don't even drink, cuz.
With his whereabouts and the fact that he was impaired out there for the public to see, he then showed that he was walking upstairs to a club called Truth 18, once again giving his ops an update on his whereabouts.
We came deep as fuck for my birthday, man. Everybody coming out to spell. No cap, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We deep as hell. We deep as hell. 20 deep. Lit everywhere we go.
If you think that was crazy, wait till you hear that he posted another flyer to his story with the address on it. It was as if he was basically asking his ops to come to where he was at and kill him. And at 4:40 in the morning, Fulio was returning to the Holiday Inn where he was shot up, being declared dead on arrival.
Right now, police looking for the people who killed rapper Julio Fulio in a weekend shooting in Tampa.
A suspect has still not been identified, but a Jacksonville crime analyst believes that the shooter at large could be from a rival group in Jacksonville, where Julio Fulio is from.
Sad as it was for his family, people weren't exactly shocked when the news came to light. Bro lasted 3 years. That's actually an achievement after something like this. Murdered just 3 hours from his hood in Jacksonville, Fulio's death has changed the Florida drill scene forever. And in the aftermath, his alleged girlfriend posted on X that, Y'all took my boyfriend from me. I hate y'all. I won't be the only one crying. And if there's anyone that needs to be vigilant about the retaliation for the killing, it's Youngin' Ace. On the day that Fulio was killed, the ATK leader sent a suspiciously incriminating tweet that he since deleted, reading, "That boy going back the same day he came in." Which is clearly a dig at Fulio, as he literally died on his birthday. Not content to stop there, he also released a track dissing him immediately after his passing entitled, "Do It," where he low-key admitted to putting out a hit on Fulio. And 5 days later, he dropped another one, called "Game Over," where he not only took a shot of Don Julio during the music video, but would also go on to spit some diabolical disses at his deceased op. After this, it's clear to some that Ace has to start moving like a president. This makes the Drake and Kendrick beef look like kids fighting. Over the course of the ATK versus KTA war, Ace hasn't exactly been less flagrant than Fulio when it came to mocking the dead. Now, in the wake of Fulio's murder, fans are convinced that Ace is in serious danger. Fed's gonna be bumping this one in the squad car. Claiming bodies has to be the dumbest flex in history. Youngin' Ace is the next to go. What's even more wild is that Fulio is still somehow dissing Ace after he passed away. After No Jumper recently posted security footage of Fulio being killed, the people running his Instagram commented a purple devil emoji. Seriously, whoever is running that account needs to be stopped. Even his own family is joining in on the fun, and his sister was seen blasting the diss track "When I See You" at his funeral. Youngin' Ace and Fulio's journey has even drawn parallels to the destructive paths that two famed Chicago rappers walked down. And while Youngin' Ace is still alive, a rapper by the name of FBG Duck would get gunned down for dissing his dead ops. If you're a fan of Lil Durk, you might have heard this line in his song "Should've Ducked," where he says, "I told my PO through the gate that I get high as fuck. She asked me how do I get, I told her how." And while Lil Durk dissing his dead ops is not something we're going to be discussing too much in this video, the rapper he was referring to in these bars was a man who goes by the name of FBG Duck. FBG Duck, a leader of 63rd or STL/EBT, was a gangster disciple from a young age. For those unfamiliar, the Gangster Disciples, or the GDs, are a rival gang to the Black Disciples, or the BDs, which includes rappers like King Von and Lil Durk. A rapper who came up from the gritty streets of Chicago, Duck was deeply involved in the city's gang culture, which he often reflected on with his music and public persona. He was a prominent member of the Flyboy Gang, or FBG, which was affiliated with the GDs. His music and reputation made him among the most recognizable figures in the neighborhood. However, Duck's journey to become a rapper only meant that he had another avenue to mock his enemies, and tracks like "Slide" really set the tone for the levels of disrespect to expect. Let me see some fucking shots fired. Let me tell y'all what's up. Make sure that crib up you had. A man who's been feuding with the notorious O Block for most of his life, Duck knew that danger lurked around every corner.
Of course I know motherfuckers want to kill me. I'm a very disrespectful person. I know what I did in my lifetime. You feel me? They don't know because they not out here with me. They don't be on these blocks. You feel me? If I put myself in that place and I ain't know I'm supposed to be here, then I know I'm looking for trouble. Like,
as opposed to being careless, Duck, who was once stabbed by his own girlfriend, took precautions. He even once stopped one of his friends exposing where he was on camera for fear of what was to come. But these concerns over his own safety weren't enough to stop him from rubbing salt in the wounds of O Block members. And on his song, "Dead Bitches," he did just that. I know you heard about Luke, yeah. They left his shit by tight. Bullets was hitting him, he was singing like Mariah. The man Duck is referring to in these bars is Jerome Lobu Anderson, a 22-year-old member of the 600 Black Disciples gang who was fatally shot on April 3rd, 2015 in Chicago, Illinois. At that time, the 600 faction of the Black Disciples was in conflict with several other gangs. Many believe his murder was retaliation by MOB for the death of their member, Damien Lil Scrap Williams. Later in the track, Duck also mentions two men, one by the name of Sheroid. Yeah, you heard about Sheroid. And Lil Steve.
Yeah, you heard about Lil Steve. Yeah, I heard about that too. But fuck him though, he a pack too.
Who were also part of the Black Disciples gang. This is only scratching the surface when it comes to FBG Duck's many disses that he took at his dead ops in his songs. But this is the one that crossed the line. Dissing scores of O Block members, the track didn't necessarily lead to his death, but it certainly sealed his fate. As one user put it, people who didn't know who FBG Duck was say this is what got him killed. No dog, they've been trying to kill Duck since 2012. Yeah, the song made them crash out in downtown Chicago, but Duck was a dead man walking regardless. On August 4th, 2020, FBG Duck was shopping when a Ford Fusion and a Chrysler 300 left O Block and sped towards Duck's location after they were tipped off about his whereabouts. At 4:26 p.m., the cars pulled up in front of Duck's girlfriend's vehicle midway through their shopping trip and fired on them before driving off. He sustained over 16 shots and was killed instantly. According to reports, FBG Duck was a wanted man to the extent that he had a bounty of 100k on his head. And in a move that doesn't seem all that coincidental, O Block's most famous son, King Von, showed up to distribute custom chains just days after his death. Meanwhile, in interviews, Von trolled Duck's family and friends by pretending to be sad over what went down.
Were you saddened by the news that he was murdered then?
Man, that shit hurt. I didn't go to sleep that night. I can't believe that shit. Hold on, man. Oh, let's talk about some other shit.
But less than 3 months on from what went down with Duck, King Von would also become the victim of gun violence after spending years mocking his enemies. From the outset of his career, Lil Durk's protege, King Von, promoted his neighborhood and insulted their enemies every single chance he got.
Oh, it's O Block, Parkway Gardens. It'd be decent over there, cause they got all type of shit over there. And that's what it'd be fun and shit. We don't focus 63rd like that. It ain't safe over there, it's dirty and shit.
Unafraid to diss his dead ops on tracks like Still Trappin'.
This ain't no G, this shit smoking, this shit thrust for real. This that shit that had you choking and got Tuka killed.
And took her to the O.
Now Miss calls three up and for mom, the other six say duck.
What separated King Von from many rappers is that he didn't just talk about the street life, he really lived it.
King Von probably would have been considered like a serial killer. Like, let's keep it 100. King Von was on some other shit. Like, King Von was bloodthirsty, he loved death, he loved killing. And it was more than just revenge. King Von had an insatiable obsession with murder and violence, and thought it was almost like a game.
With YouTubers like Traplore Ross making an entire 4-hour documentary to illustrate all the murders that King Von was most allegedly involved in throughout his life, a gallery of mugshots, and Von himself claiming the lives of several bodies throughout his catalog and social media, I think that man DJ Academics was onto something for real, for real. But Von was under no illusions about how his story would end. He knew that as long as he was still in the hood, there was every chance he could be taken out.
Somebody killed somebody, everybody got family, somebody related to him or somebody cool him. You kill him, now everybody that he was close with is trying to kill you. It's a never ending, or they gonna kill. Let's kill somebody close to him.
Right. Hey, how does that end? How y'all stop that?
It don't stop. It's to everybody, all the people that playing the game, it's gone. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's the last man standing. It's either you gonna be in jail, you gonna die, or you getting lucky around this bitch.
Despite moving to Atlanta, King Von still couldn't outrun his many, many beefs. But instead of it being a member of Duck's STL/EBT crew that would take his life, it would instead be an affiliate of fellow rapper Quando Rondo, who he had been beefing with for months prior to his passing that would. During a promotional party for his album at a hookah lounge, Von and his crew would get involved in a scuffle with Quando's team that escalated far too quickly. As it all went down, Von was shot multiple times by Quando's friend, Lil Tim, and passed away in a hospital. The crazy part is that Lil Tim later had his charges dropped, as the prosecutors believed that Von was killed in an act of self-defense. For O Block, this was a time of mourning, but for all those he had terrorized, it was a time of celebration. Notable figures in the space like Charleston White claimed that King Von literally deserved to die for all the dissing he did while he was alive.
I think most people have to die off in order for things to change. King Von was known to be a killer. A man who killed black people. A man who was accused of killing a black girl. So you mean to tell me he's celebrated, right? You got celebrities who take pictures in front of his mural. What about his victims' family?
Charleston specifically believes that King Von's constant mockery of Tuka's death sealed his fate.
They did Tuka like that for 11 years. I never even knew who Tuka was until last year. So you mean to tell me we can Tuka for 11, 12 years, and his mother is over in the corner pleading? She's pleading.
For those who don't know, Tuca was the street name for Shondell Gregory, a 15-year-old from Chicago. On January 12, 2012, Tuca was waiting at a bus stop when a car pulled up in front of him. A passenger got out the car and, after exchanging a few words, shot the teen multiple times. Tuca was pronounced dead at the scene. King Von has tons of songs where he mentions Tuca's name. Basically, Tuca was one of the many ops that King Von had been involved in putting to sleep. However, as Von himself said, his death didn't conclude anything or draw a line under the feud with Quando Rondo. In fact, all it did was make the streets a little more dangerous and Von's shooter too. From the moment Lil' Tim was identified as the alleged killer of King Von, people like Lil' Reese have made it known that they want to get their hands on him.
We gonna roll his ass out real soon.
As for Lil Durk, he just downright disrespected him.
She fucked everybody up, like real gangster get took out bad like a nerd type.
Arrested for the murder just one day after it took place, people such as King Von's sister and 600 Breezy actively didn't want him to be prosecuted just so that the streets could take their own form of revenge.
We don't fuck with justice. We don't honor that. I'm never gonna sit here, yeah. But like I want that nigga to go to jail. I just know his case looked bad. I know it's just gonna be bad, but I don't want that for him. That's a bitch move. In the streets, they gonna be like, oh, Breezy a police ass nigga. The streets get up with him.
Despite all the animosity that he's faced, Lil' Tim has refused to back down. And after the charges against him were dropped on the grounds of self-defense, he didn't hesitate to reference Von's death on wax with a track entitled Left a Stain, which featured bars like,
my lawyer just beat the charge, it won't hard, they know my name. Bet 20 up on my thought, forever scar, we left a stain.
Intent on gambling his life, the only thing Lil' Tim has ever really been known for in hip-hop is his role in King Von's death. While for his friend Quando Rondo, it seems like his ties to the whole thing are something he's really trying to outrun. To begin with, Quando's participated in the alarming new tradition of dissing his dead ops, as well as Lil Durk, with bars live. The man who had to drive Lil Tim to the hospital after he was shot during the altercation, Quando seems like he was traumatized by the whole thing.
Like, I'm thinking it's a regular individual, so I'm letting this group come by. Next thing you know, a nigga hit me. You feel me? Boom, bam. Man, like, I lied to you not, man. I lied to you not. Like, it's like I had an out-of-body experience.
Forced to cancel shows in the wake of the shooting, the Never Broke Again artist's career has never been the same ever since. And some claim that he's gone into exile to avoid the smoke from O-Block, but he feels otherwise.
Ain't nothing about to stop me, bit, bro. People say I'm hiding. I'm in the 10 different states. I'm hiding. Name one famous person, entertainer, basketball player, football player, rapper, singer. Name one person walk outside their house and say, I'm here. Y'all act like y'all about to walk out the house and just magically see Quando Rondo. What the fuck? Even if I am in traffic, but I got presidential tint in, I'm in orange. I told myself 2021, really, just from all the shit, but so much pain and hatred and all that shit been coming my way so much lately, that shit really turned me like all the way fully to myself. Like, I'm in the mindset, well, I ain't got no reason to fake it with nobody, none of that. I ain't gonna lie, I do live with a regret. Maybe I live with a big regret every day I wake up.
Faced with claims that his time is coming too soon, basically every day, Quando has maintained that he's not scared, and now he just wants to progress to the next stage of his career.
How you feel about when you get death threats? You know, whenever you walk out your house, you know, or you get on Instagram, you got people coming under your post and, you know, sending you death threats. How they make you feel? Do they make you feel down sometimes?
However some shit come to me, that's how I'm about to go about that shit. Straight up. Man, I got a daughter, bro. In this day and age, in this life, I'm going home to my daughter, cuz.
The latest update to this feud is that Quando was ambushed at a gas station in 2023 in a shooting that led to the death of his friend Lil Pab. And of course, Lil Durk was there to diss his dead op by using Quando Rondo's cry for help at the scene in a viral video as an ad lib for his song.
He's pulling out a man who had been shot in an SUV. No!
Quando has outran his enemies for now, but the real question is if he will always be so lucky, or if his claims that he's trying to change his ways will be enough to evade the get back. These days, Quando Rondo's label boss and good friend, NBA Youngboy, isn't making things much better, as he has since been claiming King Von's death in various songs.
Spotted then we followed them. Call that boy dead, man. Name that boy Rudolph when he seen that red bean. Nigga, this that Squid Game. Oh, black piggy rolled up. Murder what they told us. Atlanta boy get fold up.
Diabolical. But when it comes to dissing dead ops and facing the consequences for doing so, it would be crazy for me to not mention a man by the name of Daryl Caldwell, aka Draco the Ruler.
It was looking like a good week for Daryl Caldwell, better known as LA rapper Draco the Ruler. But backstage on Saturday night, officials say he was stabbed in his neck while surrounded by a group and died of his injuries.
An underground rap legend who had his own distinct style, Draco the Ruler was among the most popular artists in Los Angeles during his short and routinely chaotic life. In and out of jail throughout his life for firearm charges and other offenses, Draco was raised in the 100th section of South Central LA, but he refused to formally join a Bloods or Crips set. Instead, he created his own crew called the Stink Team.
These niggas be gangbanging for protection. These niggas bombs. I ain't had to do all that shit.
Stink Team's your gang?
Yeah, Stink Team.
Racking up regional hits with his mixtapes, Draco seemed to be on the right path, but he still found himself wrapped up in the gang politics of his native West Coast. This really came to a head back in December of 2016, when Draco was implicated in the shooting of Davion Red Bull Gregory at an adult pajama party in Carson, California. If you don't know, Red Bull was held as a top member of the Inglewood family Bloods. Although no one said he was the man behind the trigger, Draco's Mercedes SUV was seen at the crime scene, which showed he had a direct involvement in the murder. And this is what put Draco and the city of Inglewood at odds from there on out. Charged with first degree murder, attempted murder, and conspiracy to commit murder in relation to the event, after it was alleged he was there for the intention of killing known rival RJ, Draco would spend from 2018 to 2020 behind bars, and he even dropped an album recorded over jail phone calls. But once he got out, Draco's relationship with the city of Inglewood was frayed after Red Bull's shooting would only continue to get worse. From AZ Chike to Munchie B and Rucci, who are all alleged to be affiliated with the Inglewood Bloods, Draco would happily diss everyone in Inglewood and even challenge the entire city to a fight on an IG Live after. Alongside claiming that the Stink Team beat up all of Inglewood in jail, he then claimed the credentials of people like Chike and Rucci into question on IG Live.
What street shit is Chike doing? I'll wait. What street shit is Rucci doing? I'll wait. Cause wearing rags and videos, nigga, don't make you, nigga, a street nigga. How many bodies them niggas beat? I'll wait. How many times them niggas even been to jail? I'll wait.
On top of regional hits, he even had a very strained and hateful relationship with YG, which was quite possibly his biggest mistake, as many believe this beef led to his demise. Over the years, the still brazy rapper, who is a self-proclaimed blood, and Draco exchanged no shortage of jabs in one another's direction, with YG's distaste for him once again being traced back to Red Bull's killing. This beef was intense, and it actually went under the radar at the time, considering it really could have spiraled into full-on war in the streets. I'm not gonna go too much into detail, but just know that this beef was and still is heated. From YG's people shooting at Draco and his homies, to Draco's mom's house getting shot up, as well as Draco's homies shooting at YG at the studio in 2015, and robbery attempts from both sides. The Red Bull situation didn't help, and things got much worse when a rapper known as Indian Red Boy, another Blood affiliate, was shot and killed on Instagram Live. This happened after one of the top members, Red Boy Capone, defaced a Nipsey Hussle mural and posted it online. Draco talked about their beef several times, and they were even throwing hella shots at each other in songs as well. Taking shots at YG being shot in the hip outside of his studio with bars like, "He's a rapper but I made his hips rock and roll," and "We'll be pulling up to his stew if you don't stay facts, all you heard was K rounds in the playback," Draco was merciless when it came to mocking YG. Over time, it caused attention to the point that Adam22 issued a stern warning to the Stink Team leader that he wasn't someone to play with.
If his smoke is really smoke with us, we ain't playing, you know? So, like, I'ma tell the homies the same shit, like, bro, we not rap beefing, we really beefing. The homies gonna get you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
as always, Draco was unrepentant as ever and let YG know what type of time he was on.
A rap nigga gon' get switched easy, say one more thing, and they know that. I don't want no friends, nigga. Stop playing with us. We ain't the ones to play with.
As things progressed, Draco continued to focus his attack on everyone affiliated with Inglewood. As a result, the death of the rapper Indian Red Boy became the perfect opportunity for Draco to provoke the neighborhood once more, which he did on songs like Just Dance.
Hey, just niggas like Instagram so much they gon' die on it. 223 shells walking his head while he live streams. The news out, cameras, crews out, somebody died.
Apparently willing to go to war with an entire neighborhood, Draco turned up the heat again with the diss track Ingleweird. This is a diss song aimed at rappers AZ Chike and Rucci, and also contains lyrics aimed at the vision impaired Munchie B with lines like,
I just dropped 50 on a blind nigga, he ain't see it coming.
As well as asking AZ Chike how you join a gang when you're 25, the track was a declaration of war from Draco, and its release led him to being arrested in an Uber with a firearm on him the very next day.
What is your investigation?
I already told y'all, 10 windows.
Don't have an ID. Yeah, I jumped in an Uber, bro, to pick up my son, bro. Literally.
5 out of 1. Have all units respond.
North my son is in the car, bro.
Just go with the program. That's it.
Man, I'm on live, bro. I'm on live, bro. I don't have nothing on me, bro. I'm on live, bro. What are y'all doing, bro? What are you talking about, bro?
Don't fight us. Don't fight us, man.
From the moment it dropped, the track felt like a line in the sand. And unfortunately, it was one that Draco couldn't erase in time. Probably the boldest diss of all time. Or dumbest, seeing how he got murdered right after. Just 3 months on from the release of the song Ingleweird, Draco was scheduled to play at a show at the Once Upon a Time Festival in LA. This festival included performances from artists like Snoop Dogg, the Isley Brothers, and most notably, his rival YG. All was going well for him and the Stink Team at this event until just minutes before he was set to go on stage. In fact, as his brother Ralphie the Plug revealed, the last thing they were anticipating was trouble.
We went to work, you know what I'm saying? We wasn't caring who was there, who was that, we just went to work, you know what I'm saying? Drake was gonna pick up his money if it was just me, him, and one security. He wasn't giving a fuck.
At this point, Jeff Wise, a journalist and friend of Draco's, remembers seeing the Inglewood Bloods descend on Draco with hopes of making an example out of him. He claimed in a lengthy article that details how Draco and his crew, the Stink Team, hung out in the parking lot right before going on stage. And then, chaos erupted when an unknown name came out and said, "Fuck Stink Team, fuck Draco," and a brawl began right then and there. They appear as if out of nowhere, sprinting helter-skelter in battalions of 20, mostly in red, many ski-masked, letting loose shrieks of whoop and su-whoop. He then explained how the initial confrontation was a trick to deceive Draco and the Stink Team into thinking that they were about to catch a fair one. But instead, a large mob of about 100 people swarmed them. It wasn't just chaos, it was a carefully planned attack. Once all the fighting died down, his crew was left with a horrifying revelation. Directly in front of me, I watched one of the attackers leap on a ledge, rip off his mask, beat his chest, and screech with apparent glee. As if on cue, the attackers all remove their hoodies and scatter. Seconds later, security and the police finally arrive, much too late. So do the medics, who rush up to a prostrate body writhing on the asphalt. It is Draco, mask off, blood pouring all over his face and neck. It looks like his throat has been slit. In the distance, I hear the wail of sirens. Allegedly 113 people taking on 7, Draco never stood a chance. Described by many people as an assassination as opposed to a crime of passion, Drake's many enemies in LA rejoiced about his death, with witnesses alleging that several different people with street ties told them that there was a bounty on his head. There was no lack of candidates who might have been behind it. Unarmed, due to the surge from security at the venue, a Rolling 30s Crypt and Stink Team member, known as K7 the Finesser, went on IG Live shortly after it all went down, and he implied that YG, who was also performing that night, was behind it.
I'm speaking facts, bro. YG a real life bitch, nigga. All them niggas is bitches, bro. I don't give a fuck, bro. I'm so mad, bro. My mama, bro. YG did some whole shit, bro. A security guard snuck in, knives, all type of weird shit, nigga. Certain niggas was there early, so it was cool. Like, it wasn't no tension, like, but YG and them wasn't there because they performed later, fool. As soon as he came, it went bad, basically. Like, Like, niggas know what they was doing, bro. Nigga, bro, it was a setup, bro.
Claiming they were all purposefully left outnumbered, K7 is one of the many people who were left devastated by Drake's passing, and his mom even filed a lawsuit against Live Nation for his wrongful death. After being ruthlessly mocked by Draco over his own shooting, people like Munchie have been remorseless in expressing their hatred for the late rapper.
What are your thoughts on Draco?
No respect. No respect there at all. No respect. And it's crazy because his fans / trolls be in my comments saying a little crazy shit and all that little shit. But what y'all was saying when he was on record disrespecting my homie, rest in peace. He can't talk back, but you disrespecting him. Long live Red Bull. So, you know, when he passed, I kicked him while he was down, literally. You know what I'm saying? And took shots at him. And now, how does people feel? You know what I'm saying?
But as is a common theme throughout this video, violence usually begets violence. And members of Distinct Team have claimed that because of what happened to Draco, Rucci is next.
Nigga, if you want to do all that, nigga, when we see, yeah, I'm just telling nigga, we gonna rock out wherever we at, cuz I'm gonna put it like that. Yeah, I'm nigga, period, point blank, nigga, we gonna stand on it, nigga, it's the truth, nigga. We ain't taking none of it back, nigga, on the dead homies, nigga. You ain't doing nothing, boy. You's a rapper on the hood, nigga. You ain't play with no trigger, nigga. Ain't never heard about you popping nothing or doing nothing.
A man who stood on his own convictions to a fault, Draco tried to take on all of his enemies and eventually learned that everyone's odds dwindled over living that life. However, one rapper who actually managed to narrowly escape death to go right back to engaging in the same street dynamics that almost got you killed is Lil TJ. Among the leading rappers from the Bronx, Lil TJ is affiliated with the blood-affiliated Slattery Boys, and over time, he's made it known that he isn't afraid to make powerful enemies. Alongside single-handedly starting a war of words with hybrid rappers like A Boogie and Don Q over the King of New York title, his gang affiliation has meant that he's in opposition to crews like the YGs and Drillies in New York. At times, he hasn't been above talking tough on the internet either. You a mainstream rapper embracing my ops, lol, I take everything personal. Who trying to get backdoored for wave surfing? Raise your hand. But after his suggestion that he would get active, it would be TJ who would wind up getting shot 7 times in a robbery. According to reports, he was just inches away from being paralyzed and had to undergo emergency surgery. From his hospital bed, TJ updated his fans on his plans after almost losing his life.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? It's your boy TJ, man. I'm just checking in with y'all. I just want to say thanks for the love, thanks for the support. I've been looking at the DMs, you know what I'm saying, the comments and everything else, and I feel love, I'm saying. 7 shots, it was tough, you know. Most people don't survive it, but I'm here for a reason, and new music coming soon. We're gonna come back stronger than ever, man.
Determined to recover and reclaim his spot, TJ began recording music from his hospital bed. But rather than focus on the positives of this life-changing experience, TJ immediately began taunting his enemies again on the track Beat the Odds.
I no doubt if I'm gonna make it or no probably, cause I ain't dummy ride, you E.O. Lottie.
At this point, TJ quickly lost a lot of sympathy, as fans believe that he may have only perpetuated the issues that led him to getting popped in the first place, as well as squandering the chance to push forward and use the publicity to advance his career. With some users writing, if TJ got shot again, he brought it on himself. Can't feel sorry for him. If he did pass away, he would have probably been praised for being great the same way that many rappers do once they meet the crossroads. However, some have claimed that after returning back to the studio, TJ's sound has only gotten worse, which shows just how much they respect the rapper, and this could do with his immature attitude towards almost dying. Falling in line with the Asian street code, even after nearly perishing because of it, TJ's situation is a very unfortunate reminder that this constant cycle of death and loss is unfortunately not going anywhere as long as nothing changes. Above all, the lesson that the cases of those rappers who had passed on, not to mention the others who are now spending their life looking over their shoulders, should provide is that no one is untouchable. So, for anything to ever change in not just hip-hop, but the wearing inner cities as a whole, gang violence has to be brought to an end. However, with so many scores still unsettled, and a lot of rappers bringing their enemies into their rhymes whenever they can, it looks like we're in for a long, long way from that being possible.